Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
More than happy to welcome for a segment. In fact, we'll call it a segment with Mitch Lawrence of Sirius XM with the NBA. And Mitch, first of all, hope you are safe and sound and as healthy as can be.
I'm doing fine, thanks. And how you doing? So you're in the kitchen, huh?
I'm in the kitchen facing the refrigerator.
Is it hot in the kitchen there? Because if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen, right? I mean, come on.
Well, here's the thing, and of course I've been suggesting, you know, for all those who feel shut in, maybe suffering from a little bit of cabin fever, this might be a good time to do a little traveling, if you like to travel. And, of course, the destinations would be the kitchen, the bedroom, the bathroom, the living room, the den. And, you know, if you have an attic, a basement, you know what I'm talking already.
Right, but, dungeon, sure.
Well, in my case, yes. Well, but here's the thing. Before we get into the NBA and what Adam Silver was talking about getting restarted over the last couple of days, I must get your take on 8 episodes in The Very Last Dance. Give me your thoughts about what you've seen so far.
There hasn't been a lot of new stuff. For those of us who are around and watching Michael Jordan and being around the Bulls, especially in the playoffs when, you know, back in the 90s, did a lot of those games and a lot of traveling to Chicago and following Michael Jordan around. But it is kind of, I think, for younger people, when they look at Michael Jordan and how he was relentless in his drive, in his quest to win, and his style of leadership, they probably shake their heads and say, man, we've never seen anything like this because he was a psycho, which we knew at the time. But I think it's been, you know, it's kind of like, I agree with Ken Burns, it's not a lot of journalism, it's more entertainment, which is fine. It's amazing some of the things to me that they have left out. It's just a minor complaint, Steve, but I mean, one of the first episodes, when Michael hits the game winner against Georgetown, they basically, you know, made it seem like that was it for the game. They never talked about the Freddie Brown play, which is, as we all know, one of the big moments in college basketball, American sports history for that matter. And then in the most recent episode, just the other night, no mention of the Hugh Hollins game. You know, I was there in Chicago with other guys from the Daily News like Mark Kriegel and Ian O'Connor, and we were at the old Chicago Stadium that crazy night. When Pippen quit on his team, committing the cardinal sins of all cardinal sins. And they never talked about what happened back in New York with Hugh Hollins and the phantom foul against Pippen, which was interesting. But for the most part, it's been this, you know, ode to Michael Jordan. And I get a kick out of his reactions, as you see, as they hand him the tablet to tell, you know, the, like, Mike, see what Gary Payton says. And, you know, Jordan's beside himself with laughter, as if Gary Payton was going to ever stop him. So it's been, I'll tell you, it's perfect timing. I think they were supposed to what started originally in June or even later, but because there's nothing to watch on TV, it's been great entertainment. And Sirius has me doing some post-documentary stuff. Mm-hmm. It should be called the Michael Jordan story, of course. Right. And it's very entertaining. And, you know, the whole deal about quitting, the reason for quitting, and you know, was the gambling involved, and the death of his father, the murder. It's been, you know, you go back in time, and man, it was quite some time. So I've enjoyed it a lot. Have you?
Oh, yeah, immensely. I mean, there's some journalism in there, but what they leave out, you chronicled very well indeed. And what we never saw, of course, in 92-93, when the Knickerbockers had that 2-0 lead,
yeah.
That game three, I believe Jordan was 3-for-18 in
yeah,
that game,
right.
And
right.
They won that game. And then, of course, yeah. The following three, we never, of course, saw Starks dunk over Michael Jordan, and then we're going to show any of that.
And I have to, you know, I went back on that game just to look at the box score, because we all know it's the Charles Smith game, as
sure.
correctly should be remembered. I don't know if you remember this, Steve, but the Knicks that night at the free throw line went 20 of 35.
Yeah, that's right. No, I forgot about that, yes.
Yeah, Patrick was 8 of 14 from the foul line. And
right.
nobody can make a free throw. So this deal, the story about, well, Charles got fouled, he would have gone to the free throw line, he probably would have missed both. You know, it was one of them deals. He missed 15 free throws. And here's the other thing that was not brought up. You know, Pat Riley, when his Lakers, the Knicks, and his Heat teams were up 2-0 in a series, they were 27-1. That's the one loss.
And here's another thing, much like with Oliver Stone, and certainly with the grassy knoll, there are still some people who believe Lee Harvey Oswald wasn't acting alone. And
right.
still, I'm a little bit skeptical, but that's me. And we heard from David Stern, no way he was going to be with, you know, behind closed doors, suspended,
suspension.
You know, to hide from any
game.
Yeah. See, I think if Michael Jordan had owed millions of dollars to the five families of New York, still David Stern would not have suspended his number one NBA attraction. There's still more to discover or to learn with the death of his father. You know, the retiring, the gambling, all of that connected. It's just too easy to let your imagination take over.
Well, you know, Steve, I was watching it last night, and back I remember at the time thinking, Michael Jordan's only 31. This is the craziest thing. I know, for the old-timers out there, you and me, Jim Brown walked away from football after, 9 years?
Yeah,
that was astounding. This was even crazier because Michael Jordan, 3 championships in a row. Michael Jordan, icon. Michael Jordan was already getting to be a global star.
Right.
Nobody retires at 31. Nobody leaves to go play baseball. So it was a very, you know. And now the other thing that, you know, I don't remember, you know, now he's presented as, well, he could have made the major leagues. No, back then it was presented kind of like, really? Like, Michael Jordan's not any kind of a player. What's he thinking about? He can't hit a breaking ball. So now all of a sudden we're hearing, well, if you know, Terry Francona, well, if you'd given it time, he would have made the majors. Okay, but, you know, Michael Jordan wouldn't have been a star. And, like, you know, what's the point? He was a basketball, you know, he's the number one guy. So that's always kind of rubbed me the wrong way about, like, well, what's Michael Jordan thinking about?
And here he's saying, you know, he's kind of burnt out a little bit, tired with all of
the
murder business and tired with all of the gambling questions and tired of, you know, wherever he was going to go, he was going to be mobbed. So then you would think, okay, I'm going to retire. I'm going to take a couple of years off at least, but I'm going to get away from the spotlight. So then he goes with the AA with the Chicago White Sox, and he's still in the spotlight. So what was he getting away from?
Well, he was in Birmingham, right? I don't know. It's a very, very strange chapter, and it's amazing that, I guess, the baseball strike led him back to basketball, because now the big question is, well, if there wasn't a baseball strike, would he have ever gone? Who knows? I'm just glad he came back, and I'm glad, you know, the games were so much more fascinating. You know, the league took a dip in popularity when he was away for a couple of years.
Right.
And they were the games when Michael Jordan, he's one of those guys, Steve, you couldn't take your eyes off him. And went for millions and millions of people TV-wise, and what he meant for the league. And, of course, that, you know, the whole story of, you know, the how they got knocked out of the playoffs when he did come back by Orlando, then the next year. Well, I love the fact that he told, you know, Tim Grover, his trainer, said, Michael, you know, I said to him after they lost to Orlando that night when Horace Grant was lifted off the floor by his team, his Magic teammates, you know, hey, call me up when you want to start training. And he said, tomorrow. Uh-huh. And as Steve Kerr put it, you know, he came to training camp frothing at the mouth. So, and then we saw the 72-win season. And so, I mean, there's so much stuff there. It is really, I'm glad they did this, and I'm looking forward to the rest of it. I think last night's two parts, there was so much there. It was just like, my God, this is like so much to cover. But it's been very good, very, very entertaining.
Oh, yeah, no question. And last week I had a chance to interview Bill Cartwright. Now, you know, what was amazing, it's not easy in a documentary to hide. He was a starter for the Bulls in 91, 92, 93, their first three-peat. Sure. And yet still, going into the second to final week of the documentary, going into episodes 7 and 8, we hadn't seen or heard a word from Bill Cartwright until last night when we saw him sitting on the bench in very animated form, really giving it, it seemed like we can only imagine what he might have been saying. Of course, we couldn't hear him. What he was saying to Scottie Pippen for taking himself out of the game because Jackson had made that last play for Kukoc.
You know, and this goes back to, you know, Michael Jordan, and they mentioned it briefly. You know, Michael Jordan, one of his big problems with Jerry Krause was, like all the great players, we've seen it with LeBron James, they want you to draft certain players, they want you to go after certain guys. And in Michael's case, he basically wanted all North Carolina players on his teams. Mm-hmm. And Charles Oakley, who wasn't from North Carolina, obviously, he was a guy who protected Michael when Michael came in because it was rough and tumble back then, right? And so you needed a kind of an on-court bodyguard. And Michael Jordan hated the fact that Jerry Krause traded Charles Oakley for Bill Cartwright. But Jerry Krause's whole reasoning was, when this team gets to the playoffs and we have to defend Patrick Ewing, we're going to have a guy who's actually practiced against Patrick Ewing day in and day out. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other moves that Michael Jordan didn't like that Jerry Krause made, drafting Horace Grant and not taking Joe Wolf out of North Carolina, that's not talked about in the documentary. Mm-hmm. And that's really Michael Jordan's, you know, he's got some input there. His production team's part of this thing. So all of his moves that, you know, he wanted to do, and Jerry Krause turned out to be smarter than him when it came to building those two teams for him, that's not talked about.
Yeah, very, very good point that you're making. We're talking with Mitch Lawrence, Sirius XM with the NBA, the former brilliant sports writer for the New York Daily News. So Mitch Lawrence is familiar to anyone in New York, and for that matter, now with the Sirius XM, familiar to NBA fans all across the country. See, what we were told at the time was that the Bulls needed a big man, and with the development of Horace Grant, could afford to get rid of Charles Oakley. So the points that you are making are a little bit more insightful and obviously not touched upon with the documentary. But I thought it was interesting that here we were going into week 8, and it was almost going to be a trivia question. Name a starter on the Chicago Bulls 91, 92, 93, who we haven't seen or heard from in almost 8 episodes. And then finally we saw, and you know, here's another thing from last night. I'm sure this had to shock you as well. Pippen said he would do the same thing, and he quit on his team.
Hey, that's Scottie Pippen, right? I mean, Scott, there have been some guys in this documentary who haven't come off too well. They set up Jerry Krause to be the fall guy.
Oh, sure.
We all know it was Reinsdorf who didn't want to pay Jordan and Pippen and Phil Jackson. Right. And, you know, Jerry Krause isn't around anymore to defend himself. So in the first couple of episodes, you saw that he's easy to pick on, Jerry Krause. Nobody liked him, whether it was players, the media. And he did an absolutely brilliant job surrounding Michael Jordan with the type of talent he needed, not just the first three-peat, but then bringing in guys like Kukoc and Rodman after that. And then, you know, there have been other fall guys, too, and or guys who don't come off looking well, I should say that. And Scottie, obviously, you know, the deal about the migraine, and I was out there in Auburn Hills that day. Michael Jordan now says, you know, he'll kind of give you, well, Scott, he says he has a migraine. But, you know, there's always been the suggestion that behind the scenes Michael thought, like, what is wrong with Scottie Pippen, the biggest game of our lives here together, and he's bailing out even though he played. You know, he comes up with this migraine excuse. And then, of course, this whole deal about Scottie Pippen, what he did. And, yeah, that late that night we had heard, you know, that Bill Cartwright, you know, got up there and basically broke down as he's telling Scottie Pippen, you can't do this, you quit on the team, whatever he said back at that time. It made for one of the crazier nights. We haven't even talked about Derek Harper fighting JoJo English and landing in David Stern's lap, basically. That happened that night, too, out at the old stadium. So, yeah, there's a lot to cover, and I'm looking forward to the last two. I'm actually, at first I thought 10 parts would be too many. Steve, the way we don't know when basketball is going to resume, maybe they can tack on a few other parts. Maybe they'll get into Michael Jordan, the owner in Charlotte, the great job he's done there.
and I would go, listen, with no Sunday, you know, it's a shame that we don't have Sunday night baseball with A-Rod.
Yeah.
You know, and who certainly knows where every camera is in the ballpark. No, it has been thoroughly entertaining. Do you know what? Do you have any insight on to what we're going to see next Sunday night as it closes out with episode 9 and 10?
Well, apparently there's going to be a lot about the whole 98. You know, they were extended to a 7-game series against Indiana. 1-7. It's only the second time, I guess, Jordan had to play in a 7-game series. Obviously, the Knicks, I guess, in 92.
And Indiana was the other one, right?
Yeah, in Indiana. And you know, this whole, like, they started out last night, Steve, like this. They had some, I don't know if who it was on ESPN, somewhere, you know, it was a talking head guy who's like, you know, the Bulls are, people think the Bulls are more vulnerable than ever this year in 1998. Now I'm sitting here, that's a total fairy tale. Nobody thought, Michael's older and it's 1998 and Dennis Rodman, you know, who knows, he might go off looking to take a vacation during the season, which he did. And Phil's not, you know, Jerry Krause announced it's Phil's last year. And there were obviously challenges to be made. By 1998, they had done so much winning. I looked at the NBA landscape back then, and I was like, who's beaten Michael Jordan 4 times in a 7-game series?
Yeah.
There's nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody. Yeah. So that's a whole, to me, fairy tale that they were vulnerable. Makes for good TV. We all thought they would win. Indiana surprised me. I didn't think they'd take them to 7 games. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, you know, the rematch with Utah, so there'll be a lot about that. And let's remember, you know, Michael Jordan before the big shot where he pushed off against Russell, fine, and got away with it. He came up. You know, the Bulls are down, and Utah had a chance to go up by 3 points or more. Mm-hmm. They got the ball to Karl Malone in the post, and they made the mistake of running Hornacek behind him down on the baseline, giving Michael Jordan a chance to go steal the ball from Karl Malone, which he did. I'm sure there'll be a lot about that.
Well, okay, so that's like a little bit of a tease, a little bit of idea of what we might be seeing. Of course, we did see some previews, but we will be looking forward to, well, first of all, even if you said nothing, we would still be looking forward to episode 9 and 10, but
yeah,
I will,
sure.
I'm sure that you're closer to hitting the mark than absolutely not. Now, let's fast forward here. And certainly the NBA wants to get out of the four corners of isolation. Are we going to have any kind of a resumption of the NBA season 2019-2020, Mitch?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think Adam Silver still doesn't know at this point. I mean, they'd like to play some regular season games, I think. And that has to do with fulfilling some TV commitments. Nobody's played, I guess you need to play 70 games to get your full TV money or something. That's a huge consideration because the league is going to be bleeding money here. This, when you go back to what the league was facing before the pandemic, there was a lot of money that was lost because of the Maury comments in China, and they lost a ton of money there. And now, as Adam Silver said the other day, the collective bargaining agreement was not made in mind with the pandemic. I got news for Adam Silver. There's nothing in the society going on now that was made in mind with a pandemic in mind, right? So players are going to lose a lot of money going forward. I would think they still want to play the playoffs. Adam Silver talks about that. And I, you know, I've said all along, if you can start it up, you've already, most teams have played about 63, 64, 65 games. Dallas has played, I think, 67. Mm-hmm. And I think LeBron and the Lakers have played 63. And, you know, back in the 2011 lockout season, Steve, coming off the collective bargaining when they had the lockout shortened season, it was a 66-game season. So to me, already, you've played a representative season, kind of like a lockout, what a lockout season was. There was a 50-game mm-hmm, season, mm-hmm. and then there was the 66-game season. And so you go right into the playoffs and see what happens. And, you know, where those are going to be held, if you're going to have any fans, I mean, on, and it's just going to be, you know, who knows? I mean, your guess is as good as mine. Yeah. I hope there's basketball, but in terms of having fans in buildings where you and I are sitting in this area, we can't even get out of our houses, let alone get to an arena.
Yeah, and he, Silver, over the last couple of days, over the weekend, he was talking about from game nights in all the arenas. That's where he said the NBA gets about 40% of its revenue. So you can start adding up the billions of dollars from that. And allude to, of course, with the CBA, and he made that remark about that we're just the CBA not ready, you know, for any kind of pandemic. But then again, who, what, when, where, and why is with being ready for a pandemic? The CBA issues, I guess, would be on salary cap and, of course, right about and also with the basic basketball-related revenues and the salary cap, if they can figure that out.
Oh, my gosh. And, I mean, look, you know, these guys are making lots of money.
Yeah.
And we all know that. These contracts have gone through the roof. Those days are over. I mean, they're players are going to be losing, like in all sports. All sports, players are going to be taking, I have to take less. And that's just the way, you know, and that's, you know, everybody's hurting in all parts of society. Some people more than others. Some people dying, some people, mm-hmm. you know, in hospitals. And when these players who are very well compensated, they have to take less money, they're going to have to bite the bullet. That's just the way it is. I mean, this is something that we've never seen in our lifetime.
Sure.
You don't go back to the last pandemic. I know you've been on the radio a while, but you don't go back that far.
Well, you're speaking a little bit too soon. No, I was, listen, I had to get a flu shot in 1919 after what I went through in 1918.
I hear you. Okay. You're probably, you know, you know from the Spanish flu, as they say. So Steve, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? And it's just this uncharted waters. It's very, I'm sure for Adam Silver, this is just, this is a monumental task, obviously. And he and the owners and players are going to have to salvage something out of this, and we'll see where we go. I'm sorry I can't give you, you know, we're all at a loss.
No,
because it's just like you can't even go to the store these days and find basic goods. How do you know how a basketball season is going to be pulled off?
Right, and he did say, correct me if I'm wrong, he did say, Silver did over the weekend, we need approximately 15,000 tests to resume and complete a season, but we won't take any tests away from needy people.
Right. Well, so, the league, yeah. You know, when Gobert initially tested positive, the first NBA player, although there might have been other guys who were positive, he was the first.
Sure,
you know, and then other, and then teams were getting tested. The NBA got a little blowback from the general public, like, why are these NBA teams getting preferential treatment when, you know, let's face it, there are NBA teams who have sponsors, like the Cavaliers are sponsored by the Cleveland Clinic, the Lakers are affiliated with UCLA Medical Center, and on and on and on. So, you know, they have affiliations there, let's not forget. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, they're talking about bringing in players are coming in individually now, but his teams are going to have to come in and have a 14-day quarantine, then 14 more days of a training camp. That's a month. I mean, I don't know how this is all going to work. It's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out.
And really, I mean, there has to be, okay, enough testing. Okay, let's start with that. There has to be enough testing, and there has to be, not only with this, and I can understand that's a good point you make with the medical facilities and the medical community that a lot of NBA teams are associated with. So right. That would certainly give them an inside track for with the testing. Also, I mean, I think what is important here is you have to have, if not a vaccine, and nobody predicts any kind of a vaccine to be coming, you know, anytime soon. The best estimate I heard was maybe beginning of next year, which doesn't say much for this year. But then again, if you don't have treatment, you got to have a vaccine. And if you don't have a treatment or a vaccine, how can you play at all?
Right. Right.
Like you were mentioning about Gobert, you know, Rudy Gobert with the Utah, he tests positive. The next day it's Donovan Mitchell. And then and then 10 seconds after those two, the NBA shuts down. And what Silver was talking about, if God forbid somebody did test positive, you wouldn't shut down that team. You wouldn't shut down the game. You would just replace that one player. But then you would have to make sure that one player who did test positive wasn't up close and personal with teammates. And how physical is the NBA to begin with?
You know, and they're talking about maybe having, you know, two cities like the Western Conference playoffs, like in Las Vegas, where teams will be quarantined, and maybe in Orlando. But what's going to happen? You have to figure out, Steve, also, okay, let's say you have a certain amount of, you know, you're trying to do it in one or two hotels. I don't even know how it would work, but who's going to, like you're going to have housekeeping services at these hotels. Will those people have to be quarantined with the players? Yeah. How are you going to do all that? Can you have family there? What's going to happen? You know, there's just a million questions that they're going to have to figure out and think about before they can start this thing back up. Yeah. So I don't, you know, there's no easy answer to any of this stuff.
If somebody were to tell you that we may not see baseball, and they're going to have their issues with the players, you know, from this, you know, you can't make it up with the billionaires versus the millionaires. You know that's going to happen. And isn't that great PR for Major League Baseball? Now the number three most popular behind the NFL, NBA, and with the baseball. The bottom line, if someone were to say to you, Mitch Lawrence of SiriusXM with the NBA, if somebody were to say to you, Mitch, we're not going to see any sports with or without fans in 2020, would you want to call, I mean, the medical doctors on that person and have them committed?
If the society, if we're not ready for it, I tend to go with doctors and the science and the experts here.
Sure.
And if they say we can't have it, and we're just not going to be able to have it. It would be terrible. It would be awful. There's a role for sports, obviously.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, Steve, I'm sitting out here. I got a county park right next door to me where I am, and that was closed down, and it's finally reopened. Whoever thought that? You couldn't even walk around in a county park, so maybe we'll have to, you know, go without sports. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. You just can't say. You can't. It's very hard to predict. No crystal balls in this day and age because of this pandemic.
No, we have no frame of reference.
Right.
What? Before I let you go, give us the times that you're on with SiriusXM when you're talking about the NBA, and how are you on your channel with you and your program with what you're doing with the SiriusXM? Are you filling the time with previous NBA games? What are you able to? What are you able to do?
Yes, and also, like, what I'm doing is right after, like, last night, after the second part of the two parts ended last night at what 11 o'clock. Okay. Then I did a show last night with Zach Harper and Amin Al-Hassan for an hour, which was actually replayed today.
Okay,
we did an hour where we talked about that, and then my next shift will be Friday. I'm doing a show from 9:30 in the morning till 11:30, but I think we're doing it. It's kind of delayed. I think it's going to be on in the afternoon. So yeah, we are still, you know, still programming. Frank Isola, who you know, does the starting lineup with various people like Wes Wilcox, Tim Legler, you know, from ESPN, guys like that. He's on 7 to 10 every morning. We're still doing that show. There are other shows. So, yeah, we're kind of, and the shows have been only like, some shows have only been an hour, but now we're increasing it to two and hopefully we'll be back to full strength. What I hope is that, you know, I'm working like you are. I'm not in the kitchen exactly. I'm in the dungeon. And I hope is as soon as New York City opens, it doesn't sound like it's going to open anytime soon. Right. I basically work from the studio, as probably you do. We're up right near Radio City Music Hall, and I can't wait for the day where we get the go-ahead that I can get back there.
Yeah, and neither can we wait for you to get back there and for us, all of us who are on the air with WFAN, we're all from home, and so we can't wait to get back to our home away from home as well. Mitch, I cannot thank you enough, seriously so, for the last half hour. Really appreciate it, you know, from that. And everything that is good, we hope happens with you and your family and your friends. You stay safe, you stay sound, and stay as healthy as you do sound. And again, much thanks for the half hour.
Steve, always enjoyed it with you. Long time, and continued good luck with you, and stay well, stay healthy, and love to hear your voice. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Mitch. Take care of yourself.
All right. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.